We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore fine. Winter ready on the four ties. Heavy traffic during 4-5. Gotta hustle on your own time. Color people every port side. We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore fine. Winter ready on the four ties. Heavy traffic during 4-5.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your host, your boy George McKay, back in the Straight Talk Studios. And as you can see behind me, I have one of the best up-and-coming indie wrestling talents in the world, and I'll put my stamp on that. Please help me welcome to Straight Talk Wrestling, the one, the only, Vicious Vicky.
Yeah, my man. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for coming on. So my first question is I've done my research. I pride myself on doing my research. So I try to watch everything that's been done. I try not to ask the same questions, or at least ask the questions, but in a different way. So I know from my research that your sisters made you fall in love with pro wrestling, or got you to fall in love with pro wrestling, because it was always on in your house because of them. But for people who may not know, how did three girls from Jersey fall in love with pro wrestling?
That's such a fair question. So yeah, my sisters were like super into it, man. And our cousins who were older, I think they were like watching it. So they kind of like mimicked what they were doing and kind of fell in love with it through that. My parents were very old school Italian, like, you know, my dad's like, you know, that's fake, right? And I'm like, whoa, 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 man. I'm like 4 years old, like, no, it's not, you know, like, but yeah, we used to always watch it together. And they kind of like grew out of it. Like my middle sister, Christina, she stayed into it for years after with me. Like, we loved the Hardys. We went to go meet the Hardys. Like, we were like all Team Extreme crazy. And my older sister, like, kind of fell out of it, got back into it, fell out of it, got back into it again. But I was the one that, like, really honed in on it and just made it my everything in life. So I have to give them credit, man. I have to give them credit, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing this crazy shit.
Well, kudos to your sisters for sure, or else we definitely wouldn't be talking. But, I mean, honestly and truly, Jersey. Let's talk Jersey for a second. Jersey is known for, unfortunately, the bad, which would be Jersey Shore. It's known for the good, which is the actual physical place that is the Jersey Shore, not the reality TV show. Yeah. And it's also known for literally breathing some of the best talent that pro wrestling has to offer. I mean, I could think of three names right off the top. Yourself, Deonna Purrazzo, mm-hmm. Macklin.
Yeah.
They're all Jersey faithful. They're all Jersey born and bred. Now, when you look at the lineage that's there, I mean, say what you want to say about Steve Macklin, love him or hate him. I mean, that guy's won a lot of titles. Before he went down for his injury, he was the Impact World Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Yep. And then you had Deonna. I mean, getting released from WWE was the best thing that could have happened to her, because she goes to Impact and she's the three-time Knockouts Champion. I mean, you can't get any better than that. And then there's you, who's coming up stronger than ever. And there's probably a lot that I'm missing. And if anyone's watching and being like, well, this person's from Jersey and that person. Guys, I don't know everything there is to know about Jersey. And what I do know, I've unfortunately learned from the reality show that I mentioned earlier, okay? But you can't give me faith on that. We're going to get into that for a second, though, because I want to pick your brain about Jersey Shore and find out how actually, like, you know, factual that nonsense is. But, I mean, when you think about Deonna Purrazzo, who's arguably one of the goats of the modern era in terms of pro wrestling, not women's wrestling, pro wrestling, and you fall in that lineage, is that hard for you to see yourself living up to that name, that coming out of Jersey?
Yeah. So we over here, you know, me and Rob, we adore Purrazzo and Macklin. We really do. They've been on his show a bunch of times, you know, really, really great people. It's always good to like kind of interact with the Jersey people, because they just get it, you know. But for her, she's freaking, I've said this before she was even signed, I was like, she is something, man. Talk about having everything, you know, and I think she knows that, and that's okay to know that, you know. She's a beautiful girl, she's super athletic, and she's smart, and she's so technical, and those are all things that I want to be. You know, a lot of the things that she is strong in, I'm not. And that's why I watch her. I do look up to her. For me, I think having the lineage of the whole Jersey thing, I hold that near and dear to my heart, because there's a lot of talent, period, that came out of New Jersey. And there's actually people that I went to high school with who are not in wrestling, but they are involved in other things and other ventures. Like, it's almost insane how one small state could be so huge in the world, you know, if that makes sense. Actually, Casey Catanzaro. I grew up with her. She's Katana Chance now in WWE. She's from my hometown. So, like, you know, there's a lot of cool things that people are doing. So for me, it's of course a lot of pressure because, you know, you have all this pressure on you of trying to make it. But my main thing is just doing what I do, and I'm living my dream every day. And, you know, the ultimate goal is to be in the ring with Deonna. I actually almost had a match with Deonna about 2 years ago, and I was so excited, but she got injured and she had to pull off of it. So I wrestled Allison Kay, Sienna instead, which was a great replacement, you know. But, you know, I would hope to step in the ring with her again, because that would have been a match I would have held in my heart forever, man.
Absolutely. I mean, the Garden State Goddess versus the Virtuoso. You can't sell tickets fast enough for that. That's a market.
Yeah, right?
100%. I got to talk about one of my big factors that I love in life is I'm a big fan of the redemption story. I myself have a redemption story. If you met me 5 years ago, actually, screw it. Let's go even closer. If you met me 2 years ago to who I am now, night and day. Always loved pro wrestling. It's always been a part of my life. I met my wife. She was a pro wrestler fan. So I'm like, got to put a ring on that. I mean, hell yeah. Wrestling with my best friend. No problem. And then our kids are fully involved. And the mini host sends her well wishes. She couldn't be here today because she's out being a teenager now. She's out doing her teenager.
Live it up. Be a teenager as long as you can. Please, exactly. I wish I could go back.
Exactly. So she's like, Dad, is it okay if I skip this one? I'm like, yeah, go to Wonderland with your friends. That's our amusement park out here in Canada. Canada's Wonderland. Cool. So go out to Wonderland with your friend. Eat corn dogs. Throw up. Just make sure you wear a clean shirt when you're walking out. Do what you got to do.
There you go.
But I was angry. I was frustrated. I was mentally exhausted. I had reached my checkout point, if you will, very close to just ending it all, even leaving behind my wife and kids, because I was just so tired. I just wanted to sleep and I wanted to never wake up. Mm-hmm. And it took my wife and my kids and their support system and everyone around me, so a couple good friends, family, and I was able to claw myself out of that hole. And I'm now seeing very, very much brighter days. Do I still have my rough days? Hell yeah. I mean, if you didn't, you wouldn't. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And you shared something today that was quite inspirational on Facebook. You are 8 months sober, and you are, if I'm not mistaken, if the post was right, you are 8 years drug-free. Am I right on those numbers?
Yes. That's correct. 8 and 8 right now.
8 and 8. And that's huge. And that's a congratulations, because when you can pull yourself away from those demons, mental health is a demon on its own. But when you have the enabling factors to it, it just becomes a whole different beast. So, I mean, your story, again, is one I love. It's got this huge redemption factor. And I want you to share your story with people who may not know. Like, I may have some listeners who don't know you. And I want them to know who Vicky is, not only how great the wrestler is, but how amazing the person is from clawing her way back.
Yeah, so I literally, like, it was like one of those things where, you know, like growing up, I had a great life. Everything was awesome. Big Italian family, freaking love everywhere. Like I never had anything to like blame my issues on, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I've been through a lot. And I'm never one to be like, wave the flag of, oh, you know, like I've been through a lot and I've been abused and I've been this. And people go through things, you know, like that's just life. We all go through things, and you know, I'm no different than someone else. You know, my trauma and my rock bottom could have been freaking paradise to me, but to someone else, that was their rock bottom. You know, so I'm very careful at, you know, I always say like, I'm not judging or anything, but this was my story. This was my rock bottom, you know. You know, I was an athlete my whole life. I loved wrestling my whole life, and I just got caught up with the wrong people, man. And you know, the effed up part is that a lot of those people like did, you know, the little drugs here and there, and you know, were tempting and, you know, trying things. And I was the one that got addicted, you know, like I was the one that felt sick and got physically dependent on, you know, these opiates. But, you know, I would say 10, 15 years ago, the trend was opiates and pills and, you know, all those things. And I'm very open about my story. I have no shame in talking about it because I am never looking back, you know? So I'm very like grateful for that. But, you know, after it came to that, I graduated to like heroin and all these freaking things. And I'm a hypochondriac, man. Like, I don't understand how I put things in my body. Like, I just like, now if I like like buy it like a tissue from the dollar store instead of using an actual Kleenex. Like, I'm like, oh my God, where'd it come from? You know, like, so a person like that doing drugs just makes no sense, you know, but anyway, so I always say though, that doing the pills all those years is what saved my life, because a lot of people died from, you know, a lot of my friends, family members, you know, I've had people die from, you know, getting like fentanyl poisoned or whatever, like, because they don't know what they got. So I was always grateful that I got out when I did, you know? So that was many moons ago. Thank God for sobriety with that. And then, you know, and I talk about it, you know, they always say once an addict, always an addict. I decided to test the waters one day, and I'm like, you know, I've been sober 6 years or whatever it was. I'm like, I can have a drink. You know, I never, ever liked drinking. I never drank alcohol. It just wasn't my thing, you know? And I would go out with people. I'd have a glass of wine or a drink, and then I'm like, oh, that's good. And then, you know, you get a little messed up. You feel good. You think you're having fun. And a couple months go by, and I'm like, oh, hello. And then, you know, a year later, I'm just like, oh, so 8 shots of vodka isn't normal? I'm like, okay, we got to stop, you know? So, and again, I'm super open about it, because it's something that a lot of people might think is normal, and it's not. It's something that a lot of people might be scared to talk about. I'm super open, because I feel like if one person is struggling with something, and I know a lot of people look up to me, and that is a super like pressure filled situation to be in, but I appreciate it, because, you know, I'm a domestic violence survivor. I've been sexually assaulted. I have been through so much crap in my life that my family had like nothing to do with it. Like, my family, you know, I grew up in a good home and a great family and childhood. And it was all these outside factors that I allowed into my life to kind of steer me in the wrong direction. Like, I was that 4-year-old girl that wanted to be a pro wrestler. And it's funny, because my whole life, even throughout my addiction, I wanted to be a wrestler. You know, I still wanted to be a wrestler. And I remember like just watching Monday Night Raw, and I'll just turn it off because the roar of the crowd would make me cry. Cause I'm like, I should be there. Why am I in my bed doing, you know, like just couldn't get out of that hole. And you talked about how you felt like you just wanted to like go to sleep and never wake up. And I remember, you know, before I went to treatment many moons ago, you know, I looked at my mom in the face, and I'm like, I think I'm meant to be a heroin addict and just die, because I don't know anything else. I don't have anything else to live for, and blah, blah, blah. And like you said, when you mix mental health issues that most of us have, unfortunately, when you mix that with a substance, whether it be alcohol, whether it be a drug, whether it be anything, you know, you add that on top of it, and it's just a recipe for a disaster. And you're already hurting. You're already, you know, altered, you know, with having said depression or anxiety. Like, I had anxiety and all these issues, you know? So me kind of doing what I love and getting into wrestling and finally having the courage to be like, hey, like, I'm sober. I'm this, I'm that. I'm an advocate for this. I'm an advocate for that. I'm, you know, I'm so about the kids, and, you know, I got to do things with that. Like, I want to be a role model, you know, whether it be to adults, whether it be to the kids, and I feel like people don't have the courage a lot these days to kind of stand forward and talk about it. So I think me being where I'm at today and being able to show like clear success is huge, and I think that'll go really far, especially in life, but also in the business. So
150%. I think everybody likes those stories of a comeback. Everybody loves a comeback. Everybody loves to watch certain people fall. Like, I mean, in pro wrestling, I love to watch, you know, the guys I dislike or the girls I dislike get dismantled. I enjoy that thoroughly. But I also love to watch the people that I cheer for the most get raised up. And I think that's what the world is built upon failure and redemption. Yep. And that's the best way to describe the world as it is. You can fail, you can stumble, you can fall, but can you get back up and keep going? Can you keep redeeming, you know? Exactly. And that's why your story is fantastic. And that's why I was like, you know what? I got to connect with Vicky. I got to get her on the show. I got to see what she's about. And I got to talk to her in person. And we're already gelling. Look at that. We've killed off 15 minutes of this conversation. We're not even done yet. Okay.
That's awesome.
let's steer away from pro wrestling right now. Let's go Jersey Shore. I have to ask. Okay. I've never really sat down and spoken to someone. I've had Deanna on the show, but I'm not going to be there and be like, hey, Deanna, what's Jersey really like? You know, you can tell me. But at least with you and I can kick back and I can relax.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jersey Shore, those eight individuals, do you believe they, at the time they were the best representation of what was happening in Jersey?
No. Okay. So I love the show. I will be honest. I love the show. I freaking love them. I do. I get a kick out of it. I
love it too. Don't get me wrong. I love it too.
Yeah, I love it. And side thing real quick, I went to go do like a photo shoot like 2 years ago at the Shore House, like where they stayed at when they were in Seaside.
Awesome.
And Danny, the store manager who ran the store that they worked at, he's like, where were you when the show was on? I was like, I know, right? I was like, dude, I was like freaking 16. He's like, oh yeah, no. I was like, yeah, it sucks. But no, it wasn't. A lot of them, I don't even think were originally from Jersey, only some of them, but so back in the day, like the Jersey Shore area, Seaside specifically, was definitely all nightclubs, bar hopping. It was mainly club based, you know, those early 2000s, you know, clubbing thing. So that was very accurate, the club aspect. Two of those clubs they were going to in Seaside are no longer there, because the mayor is really trying to, ever since that show, he's really trying to crack down on like family friendly environment again, because it, once the show hit, it just kind of destroyed Seaside. Seaside is somewhere that I go every year for a vacation. Now I live here, essentially. I live close, but when I lived, you know, like an hour and a half away, we used to go there every summer for a family vacation. So that was my vacation spot. So I would say like what you're seeing in the sense of like around them is accurate, but the only thing that I would say in the early stages of the show, now it's not really about Jersey anymore. It's just them, because they were Jersey Shore. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But the early beginnings of it, when they were in Seaside, I would say the clubbing was the main part. But there's good and bad in Seaside. There's a freaking Instagram page called Creatures of Seaside. Check it out. It's hysterical and it's very accurate. So okay. There's your answer.
There you go. I will definitely check that out once we get off this conversation. <It's fun. laughs> So I want to talk about some of the people that you faced. Like you said, you haven't had Deanna yet, but I know in my heart you're going to get her. Allison Kay you faced, and one of my personal favorites, who is now a co-Impact Knockout Tag Team Champion, that is the one, the only, Masha Slamovich. How did it feel for literally the Rumble in the Bronx to take place when it's Jersey versus Brooklyn, or sorry, Jersey versus the Bronx, and you had to go head-to-head with Masha Slamovich? I mean, I've seen her in person, and she destroys people. How are you still walking, and how was your body after that match?
She's great, man. She's a freaking powerhouse. but she's great, you know, and she loves what she does and she's fun to work with. I think that you know, having different styles of women in the ring, like she's super strong style, and that's really cool. You know, like a lot of women weren't really doing what she was doing. And I think that's what got her noticed, her look, everything about her. She just exploded on the scene. And you know what, man, like she deserved it. You know, she went to Japan, did all these crazy things. She got stuck out there really, actually, I think during the pandemic, but you know, she definitely deserves to be where she's at because she's different, you know, and different is what works. And that's, you know, I think what a lot of us are trying to find. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that you and Tommy Dreamer, you share a title. I mean, you had it first. And I honestly believe you asked in your post, you said, who wore it best? I believe you wore it best. And I you know, Tommy Dreamer, sorry, buddy. She wore it better. Yeah, she wore it better.
I love Tommy Dreamer. He's the best, man. Yeah. So I thought about that. I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. I was like, I just realized I held a title that Tommy now has. Like, that's freaking cool. You know, Tommy's always great too. You know, I put up earlier, like I don't take for granted the amount of these guys that I get to work closely with or be in a locker room with. I don't take it for granted. You know, I'm like, hey, did you watch my match? Hey, can you watch my match? Or, you know, what'd you think? Or can I have your advice on this? Or, you know, these are guys who are literal legends and they've done this forever. And they literally are the ones that started this whole revolution of wrestling. You know, I wasn't a big 80s wrestling girl. I wasn't born yet, but also it wasn't, it, 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 it's that 90s or like late 80s, early 90s and on, you know, that really paved the way, man. And, you know, a guy like Tommy Dreamer is freaking up there tremendously. So it's really cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And you know what? I see the foundation of everything that you're building. And I have to ask, so when you're designing your character, you're thinking about inspiration for your character. Like everybody just says the cliche, I shouldn't say the cliche, but the norm answer is, it's just me turned up to 10. That's exactly who my character is and what I represent. But I mean, Vicious Vicky is pretty damn accurate because what you have a mean streak. It's kind of scary, but it's also very cool. It's very cool. Vicky's all smiles, but when the bell ring, man, that smile fades. It fades quick. And I wouldn't want to be staring across the ring at you for any amount of money. No, I would just be like, cool. No, you can count me out. I'm good. I'm going to go back. I'm just going to drink some beers. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to play, you know, euchre with Tommy Dreamer, and Vicky can get the win. That's it. That's all I'm doing. But where did the vicious part come from you? Is that you turned up to 10? Is that who you are? Is that like you taking control of your life in that sense where it's like, you're in my way, you're something that's stopping me, and I have to get through you? That's it.
Yeah, so I hate that whole thing too, actually, but it's what works. You know, like a lot of people pull from like movies or, you know, TV or something, or another wrestler. You know, my favorite wrestler was Lita growing up. So like, but I know that I'm not her. You know, like I'm cool and I'm a cool chick and all that, but I know that I'm not going to be flipping and dipping all over the place, you know? So I'm very aware of what are my strengths. Well, my strengths are I'm a psycho. So no, I'm literally what my character is. Yeah. Like I'm this hot-blooded Italian who gets really ticked off for anything and everything. And if I'm not winning, I get super mad. I keep my cool though. I keep my cool though in the ring. I let you know, like, hey, I'm doing this. I try to take my time when I come to the ring. I let soak it all in. What's about to go down? You know, like I stalk out my opponent. What's going on? And then when, you know, shit starts hitting the fan, I got to crank it up a little bit. And then I start getting mad, especially when I cut promos for said matches. It's always up and down, left or right. You know, are you a good guy? Are you a bad guy? I'm just, I don't know. I'm just me. That's what Vicious Vicky is. She's just me. That's it. There's no gimmick or whatever. I'm just a hot-blooded Italian chick who kicks ass and wants to win every single title that she can, and will also beat up a guy if she has to, because why not? Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And that's why I will never stare at you across the ring, because you pointed away, you're a psycho. That's okay. So Italy, what part of Italy is your family from?
So my dad's side is Tragonti. I think I'm saying that properly. I know I'm an Italian American, so give me a break. And my mom, I think is Calabrian.
Okay. Right on.
And so it wasn't my grandparents. It was their parents.
Oh, I got you.
So we're like Italian Americans.
Well, believe it or not, you may not know it by looking at me, but I'm half Italian.
Okay.
My mom. A little bit. Yeah. I'm half Italian and Scottish, so more so the Scottish side is very much represented. But my mom's from Southern Italy. She's from Bari. She actually was born there, immigrated to Canada when she was 4 years old. She tells the story all the time. Came across on the Queen Elizabeth II, and there was water in the bottom. And I'm like, okay, Ma, I get it. All right. You came across the boat, but here and now you made a better life for yourself.
Yeah. But,
Bari is such a, they're Barese, so a very complicated language, and everybody, like all Italians, and now see, so you can see the Italian coming on, I'm talking with my hands a lot.
Oh yeah, always. Yeah,
always. But Italian, Southern Italy, I don't know what it is, I don't know what's in the water over there, but everybody screams a mile a minute. And when my mom and my grandmother used to talk, God rest her soul, she's been gone for 2 years, my grandmother, but when they used to talk, it almost felt like a screaming match. But I, as a kid, I'd be like, why are you always yelling at Nona? And she'd be like, I'm not yelling at Nona. It's just how we talk. And then my Nona would come around the corner. So, Emma. And it was crazy. It was nonstop psychoticness. And I loved it. But being an Italian American, do you feel like you lose a bit of your heritage? Because being an Italian Canadian, and I've never been over to the motherland, I've never seen it. So I felt like I've lost a little bit in the translation being mixed with that North American culture. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I thought that, you know, like, I'm like, oh, like, you know, I know people who whose parents and grandparents were born in Italy and came over, so that they're way more like Italian. We do things really different. You know, like, I know of people who are like super, super Italian. And I hate to say, and we make joke, my whole family, we make jokes about it all the time. I'm like, we are stereotypical Italians. Like, the Italians that you see that are like waving the flag and then the gold chains and, like, you know, doing all the seven fishes at Christmas and, you know, like all that crap. I'm like, that is us. The people in Italy do things so different. I mean, they eat pizza with fork, I think, and knife. Like, you know, like, we're, it's just, it's a totally, totally different thing. But I always, like, my dad always says, like, he wants to go to Italy, like, never been there. You know, so that's something that we do have family out there, like distant family, people we've connected with over the years. So we definitely want to try to get out there as a family. It's going to be hard, expensive, and long. My parents are in their 60s, but we could definitely make it happen. So that's a goal, is to get out there and check it out. See, you know, where the hell we came from, essentially, you know?
Exactly. You always got to trace your roots back to see where your branch on that tree started, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, as an Italian, this is a great debate that many of us Italians have had. I'm on one side of it. I'm not going to tell you which side I'm on it until you tell me your side.
I'm getting nervous.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
Okay. All right. Do I have to tell you which side of the fence I fall on?
I hope not.
I do like pineapple on my pizza.
So I had it once and I was like, ew. And then I kind of like went, and then I went back in and I was like, why do I like it? But because I liked it, I never ate it again. I was like, no, it's not right. It's a sin. It's not fair. I'm not doing this.
Fair enough. But this is my rationale. Just go with me on this. I just want to give you my explanation of why I like pineapple on pizza. I am, as you can see, I'm a rather bigger gentleman and I like my food. A lot of time I don't get my fruit and vegetable intake that I'm supposed to get, Vicky. So a pineapple pizza covers all four food groups. It does. Think about it. Just go with me on this. You get your fruit and vegetables. You have your meat and protein with the ham or the sausage, depending. You have your dairy with the cheese, and you have your wheat with the bread. It really is all four food groups, and it checks mark everything.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But I'm also not right. I get it. It's okay.
That's so funny.
But what is your favorite, like, what's the one meal that just takes you back to being a kid again when it comes to Italian food? Because there's so much. But for me, spaghetti and meatballs, fresh homemade pasta.
And
meatballs.
It's the same, man. Like, just that simplicity of, and not necessarily spaghetti, just my mom would make penne. She'd make rigatoni. She'd make all these different things. Sorry, my alarm went off. She'd make all these different things. And, like, I just love a good home-cooked freaking meatball, man. And my aunt, so my grandmother used to make an eggplant parm, freaking to die for. She used to make a spaghetti pie. My dad makes really good freaking meatballs. But my aunt, she passed away 2 years ago, and she actually, my gold jacket was hers. I took it as be like an entrance jacket, so I wear her to the ring. Yeah. But she used to make the best. Like, there is no chance in hell, no pun intended, that this freaking woman would get beat out by a meatball contest. Like, her meatballs were so good. Oh, now that sucks.
Now you're craving meatballs.
Now I'm meatball.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So I got to ask this, because this is a question. I know we've tangented off, but I feel like this conversation is great. I feel like we're clicking on all cylinders here.
Oh, yeah.
Why do Italian Americans, at least in TV, because I've only experienced TV, why do they call sauce or sugo? Why do they call it gravy? Where did that come from?
So we call it gravy too. So the way that we do it is Sunday gravy, right? So when the gravy is what sits in the pot on the stove all day.
Mm.
So that's gravy, because it gets a thick, you know, base to it. Sauce is something that's a little quick, like mozzarella sauce, you know, or excuse me, mozzarella sauce, you know, you put it in there, like the mozzarella stick and the marinara sauce, you know? So I feel like it's just different, you know. Mm. And I get it, because like, again, gravy is thick and it sits and, you know, whatever. So that's essentially why I think there's that debate.
Mm. Yeah. Just like pineapple on pizza. Does it belong? Does it not belong?
Right.
These are debates that will never end. They will never end. Absolutely. No. Now, you mentioned the connection to Lita and about how Lita was somebody that you really idolized in pro wrestling. And I get it. She was cool. She was quick. She was fast. And she was one of the first women who was going to the top rope. Before anybody else was doing it, Lita was doing it first. Was that something that resonated with you in terms of being? Because, I mean, when you were getting into wrestling, let's be honest, there was only really Lita and Trish, Ivory, Jacqueline, that were kind of paving the way with the talent, Jazz. But then we saw the, you know, eye-catching ladies who were doing bra and panty matches. Like, let's be honest, Tori Wilson, she's amazing. She's a legend. Is she a great in-ring technician? No. Stacy Keibler, again, great lady, great representation for the sport. Is she a great technical wrestler? I don't believe so. These are just my opinions. But mm-hmm. the fact that you kind of grew up in that era where women were not given the opportunities that they are now, and that revolution that happened only literally half a decade ago, it's really changed the landscape of women's wrestling. Do you feel that now is a better time to be a women's wrestler than any other time in pro wrestling?
I do. You know, when I was younger, it was cool because, again, like you said, these girls were doing these things, and I was like, well, I want to do that. That's freaking cool. You know, I think that era is what got a lot of us into it, you know? So now I think the I don't want to say issue, because it's definitely not an issue. You can't have too much women's wrestling. I'm totally waving that flag. But I think the roadblock, maybe I'm trying to find the right word here, is there's just so many, you know, now there's so many because women's wrestling is so accepted. And so, which is great and awesome. But now everybody wants to be a women's wrestler, you know, and I'm not, you know, hating on nobody. I wish everyone success. I'm a very like rah, rah, go you person always. But, you know, sometimes it's disheartening when you see people who had nothing to do with wrestling ever in their life. They never watched it and they're signed or they're doing things. And, you know, you got me, little me sitting here and others just kind of like, oh, well, I've been doing this for this long. Or I've loved wrestling since I was 4 years old. I want to be, you know, it's just like, damn it, you know. I also think that, and I hope it doesn't go back to this, is why I like, you know, people who look different, like Deonna looks different. I think a lot of the women that are on top right now in the industry, whether it be on the indies or, you know, contractually, I think that they look different. You know, I feel like a lot, I made a joke, and again, no mock on anyone at all. I was like, but I made a joke once to a few people. I'm like, everybody looks the same. We all look like freaking Power Rangers in our little outfits with the little elbow pads and the little pants and the little shirt and the little top and a little thing. It's like, that's why I love Lita, because she just wore whatever the hell she wanted and she came to the ring kicking ass, you know. But at the same token, you look professional when you wear the gear and you're all, you know, whatever. So that's the upside to it, is it's almost like a costume. And I agree. I think a lot of these girls have some really crazy cool gear. But it's a really oversaturated market, not only for the women, for the men, and for indie wrestling too. You know, we're all trying to shove 10,000 pounds of shit in a 10, whatever the freaking saying is. Okay. I don't even know. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, we're all trying to get in a clown car and go to the PC or like go, you know, to AEW. Like, it's just, it's really hard. And I've asked that question to veterans. I'm like, hey, like, was it harder to make it then or now? Because I feel like, you know, with AEW giving so much platforms to the indie talent, you know, a lot of us haven't really seen a lot of that, you know? So it's hard when, you know, girls especially are so hard on themselves, you know, like, oh, I don't look good in this, or, oh, I gained a little weight, or, oh, this, or, oh, that, you got to look a certain way. And, oh, well, my lips aren't big, or, oh, you know, I don't have nice teeth. Like, you know, girls are worse than men when it comes to critiquing ourselves. So I think being different is beautiful. And I think that's why a lot of these women who don't look the same are making it. But I think the women as a whole in today's age are rallying behind each other, which is what we needed. We needed women to uplift women, and instead of competing with each other, just be there for each other. Like, if people make it, like, you go, girl. Like, but then of course I'd be like, how'd you do it? You know, like, but that's natural. And I think we all do that. Like, we're all trying to make it. And I wouldn't hate on someone if they made it, but I also want to know, like, hey, now what should I do? Like, do you have any advice? You know? So yeah, that was a lot, but you get the point.
I absolutely get the point. It wasn't a lot. I love tangents. You and I could talk all day long, and I just feel like people are going to be watching, see how many times we moved our hands. That's what I think is going to be happening. I think that's going to go down.
I can put a little timer in the bottom.
A little clicker. Oh, there it is. 77 hand movements in that one two-minute clip. Incredible. So my final question is that you had some appearances on AEW Dark. You wrestled Athena, which is incredible. You also had a trial for the WWE, which some of my listeners may not know. And a trial with the WWE is big. Even if you don't get the call, now you know somebody's watching. And not a creepy sense, but you're literally, okay, listen, she's on the list. We have to keep it. How do you think moving up that list works in terms of, okay, you had the PC tryout, you didn't get the call, but listen, we're going to be watching. Is there a way to, did anybody over there give you any pointers of like, hey, you want to move up the list, or you want to be someone that's maybe comes back for a second tryout, you know, try working on this, this, and this. And I get the knowledge over there was incredible. I think when you had your tryout, William Regal was still very much involved over there.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there is literally, if I ever had a chance to talk to him, it would be like a 27-hour conversation. No, William, don't sleep. There's another cup of coffee. Keep talking. But how do you think moving up that list works over there, or getting back to getting another potential tryout, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, no. So I was like 7 months into training when I got the call. And I remember my trainer at the time, he was like, how'd you get that? Like, and he was a producer at WWE after my tryout. So he didn't even work there yet. But it was like one of those things where, like, I remember I'm like, man, I'm 8 months in. Like, I am green as goose shit right now. Like, but I'm like, you know what? Like, I was younger. I hate to say that. I get a little nervous because I'm approaching 30. I know that doesn't seem old, but in wrestling world, it might be. You know, I was like 24, whatever it was. You know, I was young, in shape, like, whatever. And the amount of knowledge, the amount of things that I've learned in those 3 or 4 days was, I have a whole notebook that I wrote down a bunch of stuff when I was there. You know, I think the one thing they said was just keep doing what you're doing. And it wasn't like a BS, like, send off or anything. It was the truth. Like, just keep doing what you're doing, more reps, more this, more that, you know, like, you're on our list now. Like, you know, like, if you have the tryout, like, obviously you're on in a farm system, essentially, you know? So that's huge, you know, and I remember that my whole career. And it wasn't until recently that I started getting in contact with people again. And I, you know, started going back, doing some extra work and backstage again. And I would love to work for AEW one day and all that. Nothing bad to say. I think it's great what they're doing with indie talent. But I want to work in WWE. I want to be in the E, man. Like, I want the training. I want the knowledge. I want the superstardom, you know, and that's the place that got me into wrestling. So I feel like, you know, that would be the perfect place for me, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. When you find that one perfect spot, you're going to stay there. That's what it was. That's what Straight Talk Wrestling was for me. This was an outlet of me to live my passion, because, you know what? I'm not so easy on the eyes, but my voice is very radio-like.
It is. And that's a good thing, man. you gotta have a good radio voice to do these things, you know?
Absolutely. And you got to have personality, and you got to be able to talk with the hands. And that's a big thing. Always. So my final question for you is support system. Again, we talked about it so long in Redemption Stories. We shared our stories. That was absolutely fantastic. And before I get to my final question, I do want to thank you very much for taking the time out to speak with me today. And to let you know that you're officially now a member of the Straight Talk family. We're going to get you back on with the mini host for 5 questions, because I'm sure she would absolutely love that. Because I know she's going to ask about, because her favorite pasta is penne. So she's going to ask you, you know, where does penne rank on your list of pastas for sure? I know that. I know that. So we'll save that question for her. I know that for sure. But in terms of support system, your family, you talked about your sisters being close, your mom, your dad. What did mom and dad think when you actually stepped in the ring for the first time? Because everybody could say it. I'm going to be a pro wrestler. I'm going to do it. And then some people do it and they go for it, and some don't. Some are just like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do it tomorrow, but they don't get around to it. So you train, you step in the ring, you call up your parents, you say, mom, dad, guess what? I got a match this Saturday. You got to come. What was the reaction when you said, guys, I'm going to step in a ring. It's happening.
So, like I said, I was four. So, and it's not even a lie. I was literally 4 years old. And, you know, from preschool, first grade, second grade, all the way to high school, they ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was always the same. It never changed every year. And not ironically, but funny enough, we're talking about this. And a girl that I went to high school with, she was freaking awesome. She commented on my thing. She's like, you know, and I went to like school with her, like not even just high school, like school, you know? And she's like, you know, I got to tell you, I haven't said anything all these years. She goes, but I'm just watching you. And she's like, you know, this girl that was, I used to sit behind in class, you know, and she's doing her thing, living her dream. I remember when you talk about Lita and how much you wanted to be a wrestler when you were a kid, and now you're doing it. It's so cool. And I was like, man, that made my whole day. But I went to indie shows, you know, I watched, you know, guys like Sean Donovan, Justin Carino, Chris Steeler, you know, I've seen all these guys, Falaba, you know, and they're like brothers to me, big brothers to me, because I was a kid in the crowd watching these guys doing youth clinics, you know, and my dad was just like, he wasn't trying to stop me from living my dream, but he was just like, it's a pipe dream. You're never going to make a kid. Like, he was just trying to protect me. And I always felt like in the back of my head, like, man, if they just let me do it, maybe I wouldn't have did drugs. Maybe I wouldn't have had that issue, because I would have been all in on wrestling in high school, middle school, because I would have been a kid doing it. Again, not their blame, no blame game here. But you think of these things, you know. But my mom used to buy me tickets to shows, drive me to shows. My sisters used to take me. Like, my family was supportive of it. But when it came to me really, truly wanting to do it, like, I think they just wanted to protect me from failure. They didn't think that it would actually happen. So when I finally decided, I was like 23, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, if I don't do this, I am going to regret it for the rest of my life. I know it. I know it. And sure enough, I was like, you know what? I'm going to wrestling school. I'm freaking doing this. So I contacted the guys that I grew up watching. Anthony Bowens as well was a lifelong friend. I grew up with him too. And I'm like, hey, man, I think he was one of the first people I contacted, him and one of the Carinos. I was like, hey, you know, like, I'm ready to finally do this. Like, I want to, you know, I want to start wrestling. I want to do this. Hooked me up with school, WrestlePro, got over there, did my thing. And I, you know, I sat down with my parents. Like, I have to have a family meeting, because my partner now gets a kick out of it, because he's like, you know, family, because we always have to run everything by each other. And even though we're adults and we're all out of the house, we still do this shit. But I said, okay, like, family meeting. Like, I sat down with everyone and I was like, so it was like a family dinner. I'm like, so I'm going to start wrestling school. And they were ecstatic. Like, they were like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm an adult. They don't have to pay for it. So that was probably a big thing too. They were super supportive. Came to all my shows, freaking bought my merch, like everything. My parents are so supportive. My mom, more than anything, is my biggest freaking cheerleader in the world. But they support it. And I remember when I got the tryout, I was 8 months into training, man. Eight months into being Vicious Vicky, essentially. Or less than that. And I remember I went home. I was living home at the time, and I just showed them the email, and they were just like, oh my God. And, you know, like, it was just like, it was really cool, man. And I don't want to get emotional. I don't want to get too deep into it, but, you know, I want to be a wrestler because I loved wrestling growing up, right? And I love the theatrics of wrestling. You know, I don't do flippy stuff. Is it cool? Yes. Three of my favorite wrestlers in the world are the Hardy Boys and Lita. They literally invented flippy shit, like, besides the luchas and stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, all the crazy stuff that we love. And, you know, I want to succeed in this business, and I want the fame, but I don't want the fame because I want people to like me or to know me or whatever. Like, yes, that all comes with it. I just want to make a really extreme living off of doing something I love and give back to my parents. And I want them to be like stable, and I want to, you know, buy things for my sisters and just, like, I want to make all this money and live my dream and give it back, give it away. Like, and it's like one of those things, like, oh, like people just say these things because I want to look good. Like, no, like I'm serious. Like sometimes I'll pray and I always say to God, I'm like, I know you don't work this way, but I need to tell you something, God. Please, can you let me just like make it so I can make a lot of money and like buy my parents like a really nice house, you know, like, but yeah, man, like wrestling has been my life, and it's so hard to imagine my life without it. Because when I did have my life without it, it was shit. It was terrible, you know. The drama in wrestling, especially the indie world, for the birds. I just want to be a freaking wrestler, man. I don't care who's doing this or who's doing that. I just want to be a wrestler. I just want to be a freaking wrestler. Like, and I feel like not just me, because there are tons of men and women out there who are just like me, just want to be a freaking wrestler and like don't want to deal with the crap and all that. Like, if all these people rallied together, man, like the roster would be insane. And I think that, you know, I could go on forever about my family and loving wrestling and why I want to do it and everything, but having the support of my family is the only thing that keeps me going with it, man. And my boyfriend. My boyfriend's awesome. Bob Colter.
Yeah. Bob Colter is awesome. Him and I do follow each other on the socials, so he knows what I'm doing. I know what he's doing. And honestly and truly, this was an epic conversation. And now I can say that I've met the better half of Bob Colter. And that's on the stamp. That's the truth. That's the truth. Better half. Better half. 100%.
Love it.
I've been stamping quite a few things today. Stamping it. That's it.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. Sorry.
Oh, man. I absolutely love this. Vicky, this has been an absolute amazing conversation. And I appreciate you taking the time out. And I hope you had a good time. I had a blast. This was amazing. Awesome. Thank you. All right, guys. That's it for this one. Peace, love, and wrestling. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Thank you so much for watching. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and turn on that notification bell so you get notified each time we post a video. Alternatively, you can check us out on all podcast platforms and host it on Podbean. We are also available on the SNME Network. That's the Sunday Night Main Event Patreon. Please feel free to check us out there as well. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at @_StraightTalk on Twitter, at Straight Talk Wrestling on Instagram, Straight Talk Wrestling on Facebook, Straight Talk Wrestling on TikTok. And of course, you can check out all our merch at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I don't need a nigga cosign. Without the liquor, you become a victim. You ain't never got a pole mine. I ain't messing with this generation. Fuck your gender, I ain't got...